Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party promised me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. This was talked about maybe 10 years ago. This conversation began when it became apparent and unavoidable to recognize that there are such vast concentrations of wealth in the hands of so few. Now, I can only speak for myself. I'm not speaking for any of you. But I can tell you that, and this may just be as a result of my putrid and anemic amount of skill set, my inability to hang on to the audience that it took me 13 years to win over on Sirius XM. Every time you hear me bemoaning the fact that we have this or that, or lack of this or that or the other, that's an indication of that. That we weren't able to hold on to that audience. And that American radio listening audiences just have not accepted the Crusade Channel. And it is the most unique radio station in the United States. There's nothing else like this. You people that are rabid fans, you already know this. You already know there's no newscast like the Crusade Channel newscast. You know that there's no show that's programmed or has a clock or does anything like this show. Or for that matter, any of the other shows. You know that there's no Sermon Sunday out there anywhere else. You know there's no free philosophy classes. You know all this. You know that there's no attempt to provide a premium service as a thank you to those who are paying members. You know all this. Rest America either doesn't or doesn't want to know. Why? Because they have become robotic. Robotic in thought and robotic in action. They are programmed to respond positively to the stimuli that the ruling elite masters have programmed them for. Why do you think it's so important for Bill Gates to enter into an attempt to control public education? Few people understood that. Hey, Alex Jones, that's the real conspiracy. It wasn't so that secret messages could be put into kids' heads. It's so that they would be trained to think in a certain manner and would respond positively to suggestions that they were made susceptible to. That's what programming does. Ask the communists. They'll tell you. You are programmed to accept the centralized status quo answer. I'll give, and the greatest example I could give you today, LGBTQ, forced acceptance. Forced. You no longer have an option if you work publicly, if you trade publicly. If you work for someone else in your public, you have to do what they tell you. You have to say, there are people, there are professors, there are teachers out there that are actually calling little girls boys, young women men, and vice versa. Why? Because they've been programmed. You have to have this job. You are a tax and revenue generator. You have to do this. Yes, you don't like it. Yes, hey, all right, we heard your protest. Now buck it up. A society and a civilization that has so easily accepted the murder of the soon-to-be-born in the greatest Holocaust in the history of mankind, which is the United States, 53 to 60 million. These are the ones we know that we can count. Babies murdered. Talk about a genocide. Any society that can convince itself that in certain instances, killing the soon-to-be-born is okay, has been programmed to think like that and to accept it. Any society that can convince itself, that can be convinced that it may embrace, nay, promote, nay, endorse, nay, maybe even adopt a sexual lifestyle that means and spells the end of their own species and the end, thus, of their own country, has to have been programmed to do so. In the same way, you've been programmed to go, oh, I'll just get it at Amazon. Why? Well, because that it's easier to go to the central source. So we do everything that's easy. Here's a question for you, gentlemen. Is sexual purity and sexual virtue easy? Unless it even goes for you married guys. I'm a married guy. We're tempted and taunted every time we go in public. Hey, look at me. Hey, baby, look at these. Every time you turn the television on, hey, llama, hey, man, look at what I got. In public, with people you know, you're tempted. It's easy to go, hey, hubba, hubba. It's easy to joke with your friends, crack sex jokes about what you're going to do to someone's daughter. Isn't it? That's easy. It's been made normal. Middle church men always talk like that. Go read the chivalry codes of the ancient or the Middle East, Middle-aged knights, and tell me that all men think like that and acted upon it and it was always accepted. There were entire codes of conduct. Even a wayward glance might get you kicked out of the Knights of St. John, just to give one example. But hey, we don't want to dwell on the facts. Back to Joel Kotkin. The masters of the universe ascendancy, Amazon amongst them, he's talking about the tech giants, has been enhanced by their growing control of the means of communications. Again, why is the Crusade Channel important? Why is it important for a project like this to succeed? Because it is a pushback against the normalizing of all those things that we talk about and against the centralizing communication. Facebook is already the largest source of news for Americans, particularly the young. They, along with Google, seem capable of shaping information flows to suit their particular worldview, one increasingly hostile to any dissenting opinions from the right. At the same time, those two, along with Apple and Amazon, increasingly shape the national culture, essentially turning Hollywood into glitzy contract laborers. But no one practices the politics of oligarchy better than Jeff Bezos. Under his ownership, the Washington Post has been transformed into the Pravda of the gentry left. Last year, for example, they worked overtime to undermine Bernie Sanders' campaign, whose victory might have led to stronger anti-enforcement and the confiscation of some of their unprecedented wealth. Once Sanders was dispatched, Bezos, fearing the rise of uncontrollable Trumpian populism, sank his editorial resources into supporting the big money favorite, Mrs. Clinton. Populism, left or right, represents the only viable threat to oligarchic ambitions. Bank of America's Michael Harnett recently warned that if the growth of stock market wealth continues to be concentrated in a handful of tech stocks, that, quote, could ultimately lead to populist calls for redistribution of the increasingly concentrated wealth of Silicon Valley, close quote. Deflecting populism is the central imperative of an oligarchy. They feel their dominance as evidence of their superior intellect and foresight, not the result of such things as political influence or easy access to capital. They embrace, as former TechCrunch reporter Greg Fahrenstein put it, the notion of a two-class society of extremely wealthy workaholics who create technologies that allow the rest to enjoy leisurely prosperity. The cost for this prosperity will be inequality of influence. What Google's Eric Schmidt calls the Valley's religion in and of itself has little in common with the resuscitating grassroots democratic capitalism. The old dream of libertarians, or empowering the working class, that of old leftists. The founders of the big tech firms may embrace progressive ideas on the environment, free trade, and immigration, but have little use for unions or raising capital gains rates. Well, why should they raise capital gains rates? People, little or otherwise. Here's his conclusion. People, little or otherwise, now constitute the master's biggest problem. Unlike the old moguls, like Andrew Carnegie or Henry Ford, the new masters do not promise greater prosperity or even decent jobs for the middle or working class. Their vision increasingly seems to be a world where most people's labor is largely superfluous and will need to be satiated with regular basic income from the state. A position now widely embraced by such luminaries as Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk, supplemented by occasional gig work. Oh, I can hardly wait. How about you? They imagine a future where few will ever own homes or control any real assets. Rather than being parts of a geography or even a country, the increasingly socially isolated masses can be part of Zuckerberg's global community. Well, ordering food from Amazon, delivered by a drone from an automated warehouse, employing social media and virtual reality to fill their long periods of idleness. As Brandeis warned, this vision, dominated by the interest and influence of the few who possess the bulk of the wealth, is incompatible with the democracy that we have known.